I feel a little underdressed today. Usually I put on a suit and a tie, but due to extenuating circumstances, I have no more suits. They're at the cleaners. And most of you know we've had a fire, and we have a family of five living in a two-bedroom townhome. And for about the first month, I thought I'd be really smart and say, you know, we're just going to be minimalists. We're not going to have a TV. We're not going to have a couch. We're going to be back in the house as soon as we can. And that didn't last very long. So we're still trying to be minimalists. We don't have a whole lot of clothes. Allison does laundry every day, trying to keep clothes on all of us. So I hope that I can deliver a good message without my suit on. I gave this speech in 2006. A lot of my speeches kind of have to do with perseverance, but lately I've been having a lot of troubles with persevering, and I felt that this lesson would be good for me, and I'm assuming that other people have the same problem with keeping their eye on the goal and running the race. I assume that other people are like me and that the things of this world knock us down, get us off track, we lose our sight, we forget to put on the mind of Christ every morning. And lately I've been forgetting to put on the mind of Christ every morning, and so more than anything I need this speech. So if you've heard it before, feel free to fall asleep. But if you haven't heard it or don't remember it, go ahead and stay awake. My goal this morning is to encourage you. My goal this morning is to remind you of our faith, to remind you of our Christian race, and how Jesus, the author, and how we owe all to Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. Paul is talking, he's reminding us of the 11th chapter, which is the faith chapter. He's reminding us of all the people that before us who had faith. Paul defines faith as a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul is reminding us to look back to our forefathers and their great examples. He reminds us of the faith of Noah and the faith of Abraham. These are great examples that we teach our children in downstairs classes. We teach them at home of the faith that Noah had. They had never seen rain, but yet God had gone to Noah and said, I'm going to flood the earth. There are so many people on this earth that is so wicked, and I'm so displeased. I'm going to flood the earth. And all the people made fun of Noah. They ridiculed Noah throughout this whole time frame in which he was building this ark. They thought he was an idiot. They were trying to knock him off his course. They were trying to knock him off his sight. But Noah had such a strong faith that he did not get knocked off of the sight that God, or the goal that God had given him. Abraham had lots of faith. We can think of many times that Abraham has showed his faith to us. And these examples are examples that we should think of, that we should remind ourselves of these great men, that they were just human beings like you and me as well, but they had a great faith, and we can have that great faith too. I'm sure that these men weren't always on the ball. I'm sure that these men sometimes got knocked off the ball a couple of times and lost sight a couple of times, but they persevered. They persevered. Just like we get knocked off of the goal, off of the sight. We lose the sight several times in our lives. But these men most likely lost the sight a few times, but something happened to them that they persevered and gained their sight back again. Christians have the same faith. Examples by these examples that have been given to us. We can think of many other instances of people who had great faith besides Noah and Abraham. But as I said, sometimes we allow the outside world to cloud our faith. Sometimes we allow past sins to cloud our faith. Paul writes, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin that which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things that are ahead of me." And on to 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Who can you think of that probably has more past sin to put aside than Paul? Paul persecuted Christians. Paul sought out Christians to kill them because they did not correlate with what he believed in. And then one day on the road to Damascus, Paul was struck down. And he saw the light. He saw Christ, and Christ spoke to him. And he changed his life. His goal was a new goal. But I'm sure as Paul went on, he thought about the past sins. He thought about what he had done. And I would imagine a lot of times that would make him down. That would knock him off his goal, knock him off his sight. But he had to persevere through those things. Our sin in current lives will always get in the way of running an efficient race. When we sin, that means we've taken our eyes off the goal. I'm not a runner. I'm more of an elliptical guy. But I don't like to run. Whenever I feel the urge to run, I lie down till it goes away. But if you talk to a runner, they have to keep their eyes on the goal the whole time. If they get caught looking back or if they get caught looking off to something else, they're distracted and they lose ground. And they take their eyes off the finishing line and they get distracted and maybe they slow down, maybe they wander off. Something definitely happens to that runner. And he cannot remain competitive when he takes his eyes off the goal. I think this is very important for us, that we need to remember what our goals actually are. I want to go to Psalms 1, verses 1 through 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Here's a couple of verses that I like. I ponder them quite frequently. But when they say, "Blessed is the man," another word that we can use is happy. Happy is the man. This man is happy because he doesn't walk in the counsel of the world. He is with the Lord. He separates himself from sin. He doesn't partake in those things that the people of the world partake in. He's happy because he's found himself a new life. He knows what his goal is. So many times we find ourselves following what the world does, and eventually we find that we've got ourselves in a pickle. We're not very happy. We are left wanting for something. But if you're a person who walks with God, who isn't a part of this world, you are truly blessed. You have a happiness that you can't buy. You have a happiness that you can't drive. You have a happiness that only God can give you. The delight is in the law of the Lord. How many times do we sit and meditate about the Lord? How many times do we allow work or children or or coaching baseball or anything that we possibly could do, how many times do we let that get in the way of meditating upon the Lord? We all have spare moments, but we like to take those spare moments and we like to worry about things, things that are completely out of our control. We like to think on other things. Maybe we turn on the radio and we start listening to around here, maybe KIOA or 102.5 or whatever it is. And that gets our mind off thinking somewhere else. Maybe we shut that radio off and start meditating about the wonderment that we see around us. The trees and the birds and the power that it must have taken to speak that into existence. And once you start meditating on those things, that meditation changes to different things. Who knows where your mind will lead you? It's important for us to remember to meditate upon the Lord day and night. I want to draw your attention to something else that Paul says here in the first verse. Well, I guess I already did. I kind of went out of turn. But he says, lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And I talked to you a little bit already. I got the cart in front of the horse, so I'm going to talk about it again so I get back on track. But Paul had a lot of troubles to overcome, as I mentioned. His past sins, and they knocked him off his goal. They could have knocked him off his goal. He could have been disheartened and stopped, but he didn't. He kept running. I've lost my place here. Hang on. I'm going to skip ahead. We've already talked about that. I'm a little embarrassed now. See me getting red? I'm going to move on ahead to the next thought the Apostle Paul had us looking to is the example that Christ has set for us. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Would it not help us to look to Jesus' life, to his patience, his perseverance, his trials, to what he endured in order to obtain hope for all of us? Wouldn't it be good for us to look at that? A lot of times we sit here and we think about our own problems and how terrible they are. Lately, Allison and I and the kids, we've been struggling with where we live. We're out of our house. We've been struggling with an insurance adjuster. We've been struggling with general contractors. We've been struggling with trying to do a couple of remodel things. We've been struggling with, are we going to have enough money? Is the insurance company going to ding us here? You know, are we going to be stuck with spending more money than what we actually were going to get from the insurance company? There's a lot of stress. And then we've got golf season coming on. I'm coaching baseball. Allison volunteered me to coach some junior golf. I love her for that. There's just a lot of things going on in our lives. And you think the world is crashing down on you. But how many times have I ever sat down and think about how much worse it could be? I'm thankful that I was not Jesus that had to go suffer the pain on the cross. I'm thankful that I didn't have to show the patience and the perseverance that Christ did in all of his trials. When I look at those things, all of my troubles here on earth seem so small. They don't seem like they're as big as they once were, because there's something bigger out there for me. Previously, I mentioned that we should look ahead to our Savior for his encouragement, not to look back at our past sins and unwanted baggage. Paul reminds us to look to Jesus, not to take our eyes off the goal, not to look back, not to break our concentration. We need to keep the new man on and meditate on God's law. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. The word author means the source or cause of anything, or who brings or who makes a beginning. Christ is the author of the new law. Christ gave us examples to live by. He gave us the Sermon on the Mount. He gave us many parables. He gave us many miracles to marvel about. The list goes on how Christ has given us the example to live that gives us encouragement. Not only did Christ give us an example to live by, but he completed the example. Christ completed the new law by his death on the cross. He defeated death and he arose. This gives us Christians encouragement that God will not leave us alone. He will always provide a way for his people as long as they can persevere and look to Christ as their Savior. Revelations 1:8-11. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is our author. He is the author of our faith. He finished it. He died for us to give us hope of salvation. And it's important for us to remember that he has given us hope, that these things here on earth are temporal. They just rust. They just decay. But heaven does not rust. It does not decay. And those are the things that we need to remember. All these things here on earth are just distractions trying to knock us off our goal. But we should always have our sights towards heaven. Just a few moments ago, we remembered our Savior Jesus Christ. Everything that we have, we owe to Christ. Our faith started with Jesus and was completed by Jesus. It is important to our salvation to remember the examples of faith given to us so that we can efficiently run our race that leads to salvation. We need to let go of our past sins. We need to stop looking at the distractions of life. God has forgiven us of our sins if we have repented. So now we need to move on. Maybe you've been baptized and you've sinned and you need to lighten your load so you can run the race and give every ounce of energy that you can to God and not to guilt. The only way to run the race is first to repent for the remission of sins and being baptized through full body submersion. I know this lesson is maybe a little short, but this lesson is important for us to remember that all these little things that happen to us here on earth that knock us off our goal are just distractions. And there's something better waiting for us if we can just persevere and hang on. It's also important for us to remember that God does not put us in a situation that we can't find a way out. But we need to look to God for that way out. I hope this lesson has encouraged you. I hope that you can take this lesson throughout this week. I hope that every day that when you wake up, you decide that you're going to put on the mind of Christ. You're going to choose an attitude of Christ that you can persevere, and all this other stuff around us is noise, and we're not going to pay attention to it. I invite you to come forward if you need anything as we stand and sing the invitation song.